what happens when you train up a child?
Right now, sir.
She makes her dad proud.
Amen.
Amen. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to 1 Thessalonians, and I'm not going to be before you long. Chapter 5, and we're going to start with verse 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and we're going to start with verse 1. When you have it, just say amen.
Amen.
And I'm going to be reading from the Holman Bible.
Mm-hmm.
About the times and the seasons, brethren, you do not need anything to be written to you, for you yourselves know very well that the day of the Lord will come just like a thief in the night. When they say peace and security,
mm-hmm.
then sudden destruction comes on them, like labor pains come on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you, brothers, are not in the dark for this day to overtake you like a thief, for you are all sons of light and sons of the day.
Mm-hmm.
We do not belong to the night or the darkness. Amen. May the Lord add a blessing to
Amen.
The reading of his word. For a subject today, and I'm going to need Angelo when I finish, in times like these, okay? For a subject in these days. In these days. 1 Thessalonians 5:1 says that the day of the Lord is going to come like a thief in the night. We think we know when God is coming. We say this sign says it's to the end of the day. We're at the end of the days, and this means that we're getting closer and closer, and 666 is soon to come. But the Bible clearly says that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night.
Yes,
it will be sudden and unexpected. Because it is sudden and unexpected, how ought we then to live? And how ought we then to walk if the day of the Lord is going to come like a thief in the night? If the day of the Lord is going to come sudden and unexpected, that means that we are to walk every day like Jesus is about to come. We ought to be singing every song like Jesus is about to come. We ought to be praying every prayer like Jesus is about to come. When we enter in this sanctuary, we ought to enter into this sanctuary with the thought in our mind that Jesus could possibly come. Paul is trying to encourage the church not to worry about the times and the seasons, because you don't know. But all he's trying to say is live in such a way that when he does come, you are ready to meet him. As we listen to CNN and News 4 and Channel 5 and Channel 7, we know that the world is rapidly changing. Marijuana is now legal in several states. Police shoot and kill young black men, and there is no justice. Our Supreme Court legalizes same-sex marriage, and the country rejoices. A few weeks ago, a massive earthquake in Nepal killed thousands of people. Bruce Jenner? Not Bruce Jenner anymore. Caitlyn. Politicians, to include our president, laud the Supreme Court ruling as a landmark day. Sports figures sign contracts for multi-million dollars, $80 million, just to shoot a ball in a hoop. $80 million just to shoot a ball into a hoop. What's wrong? And we talked about this. I think Sister Marie said this. We talked about that. What's wrong is now considered right.
That's right.
And what's right is now considered intolerant. Things are indeed changing. And in these days, what is the church supposed to do? Where is the voice of the church? Where is your voice? All around us, we say that, wow, it's getting worse, and they're legalizing this, and they're doing, but where is your voice?
Come on, sir. Come on.
When I went to school, we used to have to pray before the school session started. Then one lady, stood up and said there should be no more prayer in schools, and prayer went out of the schools, and the school system started to go downhill from then. When I was growing up and I misbehaved, my mama took me in the room.
Yes, sir.
She said, pull them down, son.
Yes, sir.
And she whooped me until she whooped the evil out of me.
Yes, sir.
But if you take your kid in the room and you tell him to pull it down now, you're going to jail. What happened? In these days, how ought we to live? In Matthew, the 25th chapter, the first verse, Jesus talks about the parable of the 10 virgins. Everybody's familiar with that parable, the 10 virgins?
Mm-hmm.
Five brought oil.
That's right. Five didn't.
Five didn't.
That's right.
When the groom came, five were ready. Five were not. What's that parable mean? We are like the virgins. Are you ready? Are you not? The groom is coming. Are you ready? Are you not? In these days, Paul talks about times and seasons. And time here refers to time without regard to circumstances. But a season means a definite point in time where the hour, the month, and even the date are known. Y'all get this. Seasons mean a definite point in time where the hour, the month, and the date are known. We may not know the times and the seasons, but God knows exactly when he's coming back. God knows exactly when he's going to part the clouds. Paul is saying, regardless of the circumstances, regardless of what you see Obama doing, regardless of what you see Hillary trying to get us to think everything is all right with transsexuals and bisexuals and this homosexual, regardless of all of those types of circumstances, regardless of whether marijuana is legal in Maryland and gambling is legal in, regardless of all of those circumstances, trust in the Lord.
Amen.
I love this scripture. I'm going to lift my eyes to the hills from whence cometh my help. So if I've got my eyes focused upward, I don't see all of this mess going on around me. Why was Peter able to walk on the water? He kept his eyes on the Lord.
Amen.
When you take your eyes off of Jesus and you start looking at the circumstances, you're going to fall.
Yes, sir.
And you're going to sink. So in times like these, keep your eyes on Jesus.
Amen.
Times and seasons also translate to times and epochs. And an epic means a pause. And if you study the Bible in God's plan, each new season starts with an epic. The New Testament, I'm trying to teach you something here right now. The New Testament has five epics. The first one is in Hebrews 1:2. It says, in the last days he spoke to us by his Son. Did that happen? Come on, y'all. Did that happen? Yes. So epic one has passed. Epic two, Luke 21:24. It's the time of the Gentiles. Who are the Gentiles?
Us.
Clue. Epic two, time of the Gentiles. Daniel 12:1 talks about time of distress. What's happening right now?
Distress.
Clue. Number four, the kingdom of God, Luke 11:2. Has that happened yet? Come on, y'all. Has that happened yet?
Yeah.
No. Okay. And Revelation 23, when everything is all done. Has that happened yet?
Not yet.
So where are we? I'm trying to teach you something.
No.
We're in the time of the Gentiles and the time of distress. Time of the Gentiles and the time of distress. 2 Timothy 3:1. 2 Timothy 3:1. I'm trying to go to it. But know this, difficult times will come in the last days. People will be lovers of self. That's the Bible.
Amen.
People will be lovers of money.
Mm-hmm.
Boastful.
Well.
Proud.
Mm-hmm.
Blasphemers. Disobedient to parents. Ungrateful.
Mm-hmm.
Unholy.
Mm-hmm.
Unloving. Irreconcilable. Slanderers. Without self-control. Brutal. Brutal. Some people who drive around in cars with little lights on the top and they wear a little badge and got a 9mm strapped here. Brutal. Sorry. It's the truth. Without love for what is good. Traitors. Reckless. Conceited. Lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Holding to the form of godliness, but denying its power. Here's the funny part. Avoid these people. For among them are those who worm their way into households and capture idle women burdened down with sins, led along by a variety of passions, always learning and never able to come to a knowledge of the truth. In the last days, difficult. I know this isn't a shout message. I'm sorry. In the last days, difficult times. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Verse 9, don't you know that the unrighteous will not inherit God's kingdom?
Mm-hmm.
Do not be deceived. No sexually immoral people, idolaters, adulterers, when you sleep with a married person. No homosexuals, no thieves. Know what that word thieves translates to? It translates to teachers. Strange way, it talks about teachers as thieves. But it says teachers who teach in a way to profit for themselves. Turn on the TV. Y'all aren't gonna like this. To TBN.
Yes, sir.
Y'all aren't going to like this. Teachers who teach to profit themselves. Greedy people, drunkards, verbally abusive people, swindlers. And verse 11, and some of you used to be like this. Now, Paul listed homosexuals, but he also said 2,000 years ago, and some of you used to be like this. Scratch my head for a minute here. Scratch my head means I'm thinking. And some of you used to be like this. So that means I wasn't born that way. But there is a way out of it. If Paul is saying some of you used to be like this, that means that somehow somebody laid some prayer on somebody and took them out of that homosexual lifestyle. We start asking ourselves, what am I supposed to do? How am I supposed to react? Well, if Paul says some of you used to be like that, maybe it's time to pray. Maybe it's time to fast. Maybe it's time to call sin for what sin really is.
Yes, sir.
And when you start calling it for what it really is, then you can do something about it.
Amen.
But if we're trying to gloss it all over with this feel-good religion don't accomplish anything. You might feel good for 5 minutes,
that
doesn't deliver me.
Yeah.
That doesn't set me free.
Yes,
that
sir.
Doesn't change hearts.
Yeah.
All it does is tickle my ears.
Come on.
I want more than something that tickles my ears.
Amen.
I want something that changes me from the inside.
Yes, word.
In these days, we hear on the TV that God is a God of love and God is a God of compassion. We hear that God is rich in grace and God is rich in mercy. And we're told to ask for this. And to ask for that. We're told to plant a seed. And all of this sounds good. But are we also told that it is appointed to man once to die? And after that, the judgment. Are we told that? Are we told that there is a way that seems right unto a man? But that the end thereof is the way of death? Are we told that we are to seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these other things shall be added unto you? Are we told that what does it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his soul? Are we told that false messiahs and false prophets will arise and they're going to perform great signs even to the point that the very elect will be deceived? Are we told today that the wages of sin is death? Are we told that when you sin, the penalty for sin is death? Are we told these things? Are we told that in the end of the age, the Son of Man will send his angels and he will gather everyone who causes sin and lawlessness and throw them into the fire where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth? Are we told that hell still exists? Are we told that hell is still real? Are we told that if you do not follow the words that are written in this book, that there's only one place for you to go, and that place is taking an elevator down? Are we told that? No, 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 no. We are not told that. We are told if you exercise faith,
come on, sir,
God will do this for you. If you're told, if you just feel good inside, God will do this. But God is more than a God who wants to do things for you. God wants to have a relationship with you. God didn't send his Son just to do things for you. God sent his Son that you might walk with him and that you might talk with him and that you might live with him. God has purpose for you. And purpose is more than what you drive. And purpose is more than what you live in. And purpose is more than what you wear.
Amen.
Y'all got to understand. Y'all got to understand. God wants more from you. It's not about asking. God is not your cosmic Santa Claus. God is God. If you love the world more than you love God, the Spirit of God cannot live in you.
Amen.
God is grieved. I can't speak for God, but God is grieved because of the way that we are so apathetic and the way that we are so complacent and that we are fair and just let things happen. What can I do about it? We ask ourselves. It's getting worse and worse. What can I do about it? You can do something. Draw a line in the sand and say it stops here. If you can't do anything about it in Leesburg, do something about it in your own house. If you can't do anything about it in the county of Loudoun, do something about it in First Mount Olive Baptist. You can do something. You just made a choice not to. It's more convenient. I'm sorry. It's more convenient to sit here Sunday after Sunday and get filled by the Word of God than it is to tell someone that's wrong.
My Lord.
It's more convenient to go to Sunday school and to sing in the choir than to walk and follow Jesus Christ. But God is calling us to a higher calling. I want more than you singing up here wearing black and blue. I want more than you sitting down here with the title of deacon. I want more than you coming in here Sunday after Sunday and say, I want more. God says, draw near to me, and I will draw near to you. That's what I want. I want your heart. I don't want your ties, and I don't want your money. I don't even want your time. I want your heart after Sunday. But God wants more.
My Lord.
Amen.
What are you willing to give up for enough? Help me with this scripture. Up for yourselves treasures upon earth where moth and rust steal, break in and steal. But instead, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. God and all these things that you so desire will be added unto you. When you die,
come on, sir. Come on.
Somebody else is going to drive that Lexus.
Come on, come on, tell it.
When you die,
come on, sir.
Someone else is going to use that credit card.
Come on, preacher.
When you die, someone else is going to open the keys to your house and walk in. When you die, and I've seen it happen, someone else walks in your closet. Take your clothes and try them on. And says, this fits me.
Yes, sir.
That suit that you were so proud of,
yeah.
Somebody else is going to wear.
Yes,
when you die.
My God.
I don't want the suit.
No, sir.
I don't want the car.
No, sir.
I don't want the house.
No, sir.
I don't want the title.
Yeah.
What I do want is to hear the Lord say, well done. Today we hear a gospel of convenience and safety. And just like the serpent in the garden asked Eve, did God really say that?
That's right.
The serpent is asking each one of you, did God really say that? Is all of this necessary?
My Lord.
Not only is it all necessary, he asked, is it real? Is this really the Word of God? All of that is satanic, causing you to question God, causing you to question your relationship with God, causing you to question your walk with God, causing you to question whether I really need to live that this way. You do. Every word in here is true. These are written that you might believe. Every word in here is true. These aren't fabrications that somebody has told you. So that story, Jonah, really happened. Three Hebrew boys in the fiery furnace, really happened. Jesus hanging on a cross, really happened. Jesus dying, really happened. Jesus, the Son of God, he really was. Mary, a virgin, she really was. Jesus getting up after 3 days, he really did. Jesus ascended up into heaven, yes, he did. That he's coming back again, for sure, for sure. Every word that is written in here is true. And what God says is going to happen, it's going to happen. We must decide. Am I going to deny him? Because he said, if you deny me, I'm going to deny you. I'm giving you the word today. It may not be exciting, but it's the word. We need to decide in these times that we're going to have to work out our own salvation. We're going to have to work out our own salvation. With fear and trembling. You can't point to Sister Terry and say, Sister Terry, I want you to do it this way.
All right now.
That's not what the Bible says. You can't point to Deacon Samuel and say, Deacon Samuel, I want you to walk. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. When I get up to heaven, he's not going to open the book on Sister Terry. He's going to open the book on Charles. When you get up to heaven, he's not going to open the book on Deacon Davis. He's going to open the book on Deacon Samuel. So I can't point to her and say, you ought to be doing that. I better be pointing to myself and say, I need to be doing this. We like to sing the song, all to Jesus I surrender, all to Jesus I freely give, but can you live it? Can you surrender to Jesus? Yes, these are evil times, but I know how the story ends.
Yes, sir.
I flipped over to Revelation, the third chapter. The 22nd verse, the Revelation, the 22nd chapter and the 12th verse. And these words were written and read. And Jesus said, look, I am coming quickly. And my reward is with me. I am the Alpha and the Omega. I want you to know something. Jesus marked time. I am Genesis.
Yes, sir.
And I am Revelation. I am Malachi. And I am Matthew. I am Hosea. And I am Acts. I am Nehemiah. And I am Corinthians. What is God trying to tell you? Where it was happening there, I was there. When it's happening over there, I was there. Whatever was going on, I was there, because I am the pre-existent one. And when you are armed with that knowledge, there's nowhere you can go from the presence of God. David said, if I make my bed in heaven, behold, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. Where can I go from your presence? God is everywhere. You don't have to come here to find God. God is everywhere. Some of my best conversations with God are when I'm in my Subaru and I'm driving down Route 7 and I'm having a little talk with Jesus. I don't have to wait to come here. I can talk to God anywhere.
Praise the Lord.
Saints, God wants to draw you in to a deeper relationship. Both the Spirit, stand please, and the bride say, come. Will you come? Will you lay aside every weight and sin and come to Jesus? As every head is bowed, and every eye is closed. And Angela, if you could pray in time like these, you need a Savior. And as every head is bowed and every eye is closed, the first question I'm going to ask, if you're not saved, you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. He is not ruler over your life. You have never said, God, come in and live in my heart and live in my life. If you're here today and that's where you are, while every head is still bowed, and every eye is still closed, all I want you to do is just put your hand in the air and put it back down. If you're here today and you have not said, Jesus, come into my life, all I want you to do is slip your hand up and put it back down. Now is the time of salvation. If you're here, trust God. Lift your hand up and put it back down. I see your hand. Is there another? Lift your hand up and put it back down. If you're here this morning and you know that I haven't been living right and I haven't been doing right and I know right and wrong and I've been doing wrong. If you're here and you want Jesus, not First Mount Olive, not me, not anybody here, but you want Jesus to forgive you so you can start all over again, I want you to lift your hand and put it down. If you're here, I see your hand. If you're here and you know, if God came back, if the cloud were to crack right now, I don't know where I'm going to spend eternity. If you're here, I want you to slip up your hand and put it down. I see your hands. Now, I'm going to ask everyone who lifted their hand to walk up front, because I'm going to come down and I'm going to pray with you. I'm going to ask you to take the walk of faith. This is about your life. This is about your salvation. This is about your opportunity with God. If you desire for us to pray with you, I'm going to ask that you come right now. Ladies, deacons, come with the ladies. Put your hands on them. Pray with them. Ladies, please come. Brothers, grab the brother over there. Pray with him. Come on, some others lifted your hands. All it takes is just a step of faith. Just a step of faith. Pray with them. Grab their hand. Ask their name. Ask what they want. Pray with them. Father, we thank you for prayer. We thank you for the power of prayer. You see all of these brothers and sisters that are at your altar, seeking your face, seeking your help, seeking your guidance, and seeking your direction. We don't know what's going on in their lives, but we know that you are a prayer answering God, and we know that you are a prayer changing God. God, I ask that you move in every life today, Lord, in a special way. Break yokes, Lord. Break bondage, Lord. Tear down strongholds even now, God. Deliver your people, Lord, from sin, Lord. Deliver your people, Lord, from deception, Lord. Let them see truth, Lord. Let them understand truth, Lord. Let them recognize truth, Lord, so that they may walk in the way of truth, Lord. God, if there's anyone here in this building today that doesn't know you, Lord, and the pardoning of their sins, Lord, God, deliver them and set them free right now, God, in the mighty name of Jesus. God, we collectively and individually, Lord, surrender to your will, Lord, and surrender to your way, Lord. Have your way right now, God. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. 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 Amen.